You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Once Upon a Time After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Kathy Kelly, and today we are breaking down Season 3, Episode 15, titled Quiet Minds. Here to help me break down the episode, to my right, Tiana Hobson.
Hi!
I wasn't sure if you were going to say my name or not, and
I was going
to remind
say
you what my name was. Yeah, we got that sorted out.
Cool. Other side of the table, Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
She gets to sit at the big kids' table again.
Yay. Thank you, Steven.
And sitting next to Marissa, Corey Takei.
Hey, guys. I'm so sad, but let's talk about it.
We are missing one person, not on the AfterBuzz panel, but in Storybrooke.
He can come to the AfterBuzz panel, though, if he wants to.
Neil.
He could.
Can we take a moment of silence? Okay, that was long enough.
That was long. That was pretty long.
No dead air.
Yeah, it's all awkward.
I did want to take a longer moment of silence, but unfortunately we can't since we do have a lot to talk about in this episode. Holy wow, the last 20 minutes were crazy.
It was mind-blowing. I'm like, wait, what?
I could not write notes fast enough.
What?
Yeah.
There are no words, really.
Yeah, it was very fast-paced and a lot happened in a short amount of time, mm-hmm. but... at least we got some answers to some stuff, and finally people in Storybrooke, you know some things. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was good that came out of a tragic event.
But then a lot of it kind of resorted back to tragic. So
yeah.
It's very cyclical. Yes. Rumpelstiltskin and Neil with, you know, losing their sons and trying to find their sons and now sacrificing themselves for everyone else's benefit. It's almost poetic.
Sad. Yeah, you could say that.
Sad yeah. poem.
It's just like the episode started on a funnier note and then ended on a really dark, sad note, which is, I think Once Upon a Time does a great job with just playing with our emotions. It's just a big roller coaster mm-hmm. ride every episode.
We did know that someone was going to die
this
season, a major character, yeah. and hopefully that means that eventually he may come back to life, but...
I don't know. Yeah. I feel I'm happy that they didn't tell us when to expect someone to die
uh-huh.
because, you know, they just said at some point this before the season's over, a major character will die. So I think no one was really expecting it, which is why it is even more sad that Neil is gone now, because when someone says something like that, you expect it for the finale.
Yeah.
I don't know how to cope with my emotions right now. I still I'm in denial, I think. Is that the stages of grief? I'm in denial right now.
Denial. I can understand that because it happened so fast. And like you were saying, that we weren't expecting it. So it makes you think, is he really gone? They're saying that he's dead, but is he really dead?
I would
dead?
Like this to is think once. He's coming back.
Right.
I was going to say, this would have been the perfect segue if we had a resurrection. is he really
is
dead?
He dead?
But maybe he'll show up. 10 years later on their doorstep or something. I don't know. Okay, so anyways, let's get into tonight's episode. First, I want to talk about the Enchanted Forest and everything that took place there between Belle and Neil. They begin by talking about Rumpel, and then Neil pulls out Emma's necklace. That survived the trip, and Belle says it was born out of true love.
She spoke the truth.
So, for all those people that thought... that Hook and Emma were true loves, I think that kind of settles it.
Nope.
No.
Yes.
No.
Why don't you think that settles it?
Because I think that at the time, yes, Neil and Emma were true loves, but I also think that you can have
multiple true loves.
I mean, because think about it. It was a lifetime ago, pretty much, when they were together.
So you think true loves can change? I think there's just one true love.
No, we know that there isn't one true love because Regina now has a second one true love. Two true loves.
But do we know for sure that her first man was her true love?
I think that you can't have multiple true loves exist at the same time. So now that Neil is out of the picture, I think that her and Hook can be, because Milo was, I feel like, Hook's first true love. And so now this opens the door for them to finally get together and it not piss off a lot of people.
But guys,
Belle
said it.
Sorry.
Who
guys.
Is Belle? How does she know that it was actually like true love? Just because Belle says
Belle
that
is the smartest person on the planet.
Just because Belle
said
that,
so.
You know, this was born out of true love and that's why it survived, doesn't mean that, you know, she knows all.
She just knows a lot of stuff.
She knows a lot of stuff. She reads a lot of books. I won't take that against her. But I'm just saying that just because someone says, you know, he's not a part of the two of them.
I don't know that we're ever going to settle this.
Hooker for life.
Hooker for life. Saying. But...
I'm sorry that Neil is dead. I really feel for you guys.
You were laughing when he died. Are you kidding me, Tiana?
I wasn't laughing. I just was kind of happy.
A little bit. What, you got validation.
That, you know,
your
Emma and Hook meant to be.
Half girl, half giggle machine. Never stops.
I just feel like every time Bay and Emma were in a scene together, there was so much more emotion involved and torment, whereas...
Because they had so much more history.
Yeah, and love.
I mean, they have a son together, you know? Yeah. Like, of course there's always going to be that part of her and of them that love each other, but that doesn't mean they need to be together.
I don't get that from Hooker. I just feel like they're more just
sexual
flirting
tension.
With each other.
Number
yeah, just sexual
tension.
I don't know.
True lust. True lust.
True
that
lust.
Is right.
True lust. Lust.
Emma makes Hook a better man.
Emma makes everyone better men.
True.
This is true. Except for Neil when he abandoned her. Moving on.
He did that for her.
He did that for her.
He's always sacrificing himself for her because they're each other's true loves.
Right, I'm not gonna pick a side here, but when we did see Neil come back and Emma realized that, you could see all the emotion just flood back on her face. And she was so happy. So relieved that Neil was okay.
And we will talk about that in a little bit. Back to the Enchanted Forest. We finally see Lumiere, the candelabra. He is in Rumple's old castle. And we knew that he was there somewhere, just because the whole story of Beauty and the Beast. But Belle had never seen him in all her time at the castle. And Lumiere tells him the story about how Rumple made him the candelabra. The reason why Belle never saw him was because it's a huge castle. And then she explains that if Lumiere helps them, Belle promises Rumple will make him a human again because he's changed.
And we're human again.
So Lumiere...
I did two different productions of Beauty and the Beast, so like all those songs just came flooding through my mind when I saw Beauty and the Beast characters.
Which is a song that they cut from the movie but put in the play.
Mm-hmm. But they put it back in the movie when they re-released the new version of Beauty and the Beast DVD. Sorry. Digress.
So Lumiere ends up telling Belle and Neil that they found this key, or they need to use this key on the Vault of the Dark One. And that will bring back Rumple. So then they set off on their journey and we learn that Lumiere is actually working with Xelena.
Okay.
Working for Xelena reluctantly because she's actually the one that turned him into a candelabra.
Okay, I gotta admit, did anyone notice the humongous continuity issue from scene to scene? All right, when Belle and...
Neil,
when they first encountered the Lumiere and then they had the whole conversation and Lumiere sends them off on their mission, they blew out the candles and they left the candle there. And then Xelena came immediately in and talked to the Lumiere. And then when they're in the forest, they had the candle.
But they said they were going to come back and they were going to leave in the morning. So I just assumed that they left it.
They said we'll
take off first thing in the morning.
I was kind of with her. I felt like, what the? Heck is the candle doing there?
Oh no, Neil definitely said we'll take off like first thing in the morning or something along those lines. So I assumed that they just didn't show us show them going back to get it, but they just left it there because they weren't going to leave right away. So then they went back and got
it. Editing, they literally went from, like, the first time we see them leave and then them in the forest with the candle. I'm like, something's not lining up right now.
Yeah.
They did a good job with Lumiere.
If it was that one line, if that line was there, then it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear that.
I have to watch it again. That's the only reason why it makes sense.
Yeah. Because...
Right. But did anyone think that the flame, the talking flame, reminded you of Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job with
it. I thought it was a really nice job.
Yeah.
I also didn't trust him right away because I was like, I'm with Belle on this one. How has she not seen you? She lived here for ages. And he's like, oh, I'm only like lit up when people light my candles. It's like in this whole room, Belle never lit that candlestick before.
Especially if he was in the library.
Yeah, especially
but
if he's in the library.
She does realize later on when they arrive at the Dark One's vault that Lumiere lied to them to get them there. He confesses that he's been working with the Wicked Witch, and the reason why she realizes his lie is because he says that he's been in the library for over 200 years, yet Belle knows that Rumpelstiltskin built that library for her, so it couldn't have been there for more than 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smart on Belle's part to pick that up.
She's smart. She knows a lot of stuff, like who people's true loves are.
No, she doesn't.
We'll talk about this on the
We'll save that for later.
So, Belle and Neil argue whether to continue with the plan and bring back the Dark One. Neil wants to bring him back still. Belle says, we will find another way. We cannot trust the Wicked Witch. But Neil goes forth, puts the key in the thing. He gets his hand burned with this, the key imprint. It's a triangle with some dots. I wonder if there's any significance to that.
Yeah, I was trying to
looking at it.
Yeah, I was trying to
kind of Illuminati, but...
Yeah, I wanted them to bring us more of the background of what the symbol meant, because...
Probably we'll see more of it
later. Hopefully we will, because I thought that, I mean, besides just Belle going to her books to see what the symbol meant, I thought they were really going to tell us some more.
Yeah, and even the symbol that was on the book that she was reading, I was like, there's got to be something with that, too. Because there was an eagle head, and then... Yeah, a shield, what the image was. So I don't know, maybe that plays into something.
So, Neil uses the key, gets his hand burned, and then we see come up from this vault, this oil-looking version of
Black
Rumble.
It was well done. This oozy...
The CGI effects were amazing.
Creepy. Black goo, never good.
Black goo.
But then he looked good after he came out.
But he came back as the Dark One. Did you know
he looked really good.
Yeah. So, just then, as Rumpel appears, Zelina walks up, and we realize Neil is about to die because it was a one-for-one trade. One life has to be sacrificed for Rumpel to come back, and that is the point that Zelina left out when Neil found out about this plan.
For me, this whole scene was really good because it was a point where it was completely like father, like son. Neil wanted to make that sacrifice and take that risk, saying, I'll at any cost get my father back. And even if he comes out as a Dark One, there'll be a way to get him out.
And then, I mean, Rumpel even tries to sacrifice, or not sacrifice himself again. He kind of does because he's giving up his dagger. So he's sacrificing control over himself to save his son. What he ends up doing is combining their bodies, I think.
I think like the mind. Like
absorb.
Yeah.
But I like this the second time around that the Dark One has finally learned his lesson and he chose his son over magic.
Yeah.
So it shows just how much, even though he is the Dark One, he has grown as a person.
When they were morphing faces, it reminded me of two things. It reminded me of Grimm when they turn into the animals. And then it also reminded me of Lord Voldemort, actually, when he was Professor...
Quirrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Also in this scene, I thought it was interesting... Did Zelina have, was she doing something to Rumpel in this point when he was like hugging Neil? Because the way he gave the dagger, Belle was standing just over to, like, his right. If he had just tossed the dagger more that way. So I wasn't sure if she had something to do with the control of that.
He gave it up, and then she just, like, ran in.
I know, because she just bent down and grabbed it. Like, it was right in front of her.
Not to be a jerk, but Belle was a little useless in this scene, other than the 230 years thing. But it took her forever when Lumiere finally realized, I want to save this girl. And he held her for a little, held Zelina for a little bit. She was just standing there, and it was driving me crazy. Like, she had to run faster. Anyway.
So Lumiere was very helpful with whatever. I didn't even know he had powers, but he constricts Zelina for a little bit with some fire magic, and
which is good because he kind of redeemed himself.
Mm-hmm. As Zelina commands Rumple to kill Belle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, so Belle runs away, escapes, and that is all we have for the Enchanted Forest.
That was intense. And I think I loved how, you know, they called Neil out for kind of being, Belle calls him out for being like his father. You know, you want to get back to your family so bad, like that you're making the same mistakes that Rumple made. She gave him that warning and he still was like, no, there has to be a way, I have to do this. And, you know, blindly kind of into it.
He was consumed by the need to have his father back and do it the right way.
Yeah, but I mean, you just found out that the guy who told you about all this is working for the Wicked Witch of the West.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you sort of start to think, maybe I haven't gotten the full story here?
Well, like father, like son, right?
I guess.
Very much.
It was a little rash on Neil's part.
Very rash. Because Belle said,
we'll find another way.
Yeah, Rumple did all these things that affected all these people, and you're doing the exact same thing.
I think it's also, though, have you ever thought that your parents are just, like, superheroes? And you're like, Neil probably thought, oh, well, my dad is, like, the
dark
biggest, baddest, darkest guy out here. He's going to find a way to overcome her. This is just some wicked witch that I've never even heard of.
Mm-hmm. And Neil did say that Rumple is the king of loopholes. So he was he was banking on that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I guess every dark one has their limit.
Yeah.
Hook has some problems too, okay?
I'm just not saying he's perfect. I'm just saying.
So, let's move on to everything that happened in Storybrooke. There was so much going on. But we start off with the crew at Granny's trying to figure out who the Wicked Witch is and how to get Rumple back. Zelina, meanwhile, is trying to find Rumple. He broke out of the storm cellar, and so she sends one of her monkeys to go look for him while she goes and hangs out with Snow for a little bit, which we'll talk about.
I just got to point out, Zelina's way of trying to conjuring Rumple was pretty funny. It kind of reminded me of, like, trying to summon, I'm blank on so many names tonight, which is crazy. Beetlejuice, you know?
I did think of Beetlejuice when really? She said it.
Beetlejuice. Yeah. Like, she was trying all these different ways just to get him, and I'm like, just say his name three times, maybe he'll appear.
And I love
it. That in the story of Rumpelstiltskin, you had to say his name?
Yeah, you had to say his name three times. But maybe she didn't know that.
I don't think it was three times.
I think it was just once.
The story was the girl had three chances to try to get his name.
Okay.
But Beetlejuice, you say his name three times and he appears.
We should have started with, say my name, say my name. No.
No.
Well, okay, so.
But I did like that summoning trick didn't work for her, and I was kind of like, oh yes, he's fighting the power, like his mind is strong enough to ward her off. Turns out he just had two people in his brain, and
but it
a
also,
lot going on.
It also shows that maybe Zelina doesn't know all of Rumple's great song.
Thanks, Steven.
It makes me think that Zelina doesn't know all of Rumple's powers and stuff, and that Rumple still has the upper hand if she doesn't really know who she's facing with.
Honestly, I feel like the whole thing where Rumple had so many voices in his head was the one thing that was saving the town from the wrath of the Wicked Witch.
Probably.
Now she's in command and control of the Dark One. She can have him kill anyone.
But she chose to put him in a cage for now.
For now, for until she concocts some new plan.
Or he can kill himself.
But she does. She does.
I mean, I'm going crazy here. Suicide now? What?
I can
That's a family show. Family show. Yeah. No suicides here.
But Zelina does have the dagger, which makes her extra wicked.
Which, yes. Okay, never mind, sorry.
So she has his brain, she has Prince's heart, and now she needs, courage, sorry. So now
we still don't know her motive behind all of this, other than not being the favorite child of Korath.
Well, she wants the baby.
Yeah, so it looks like she's after that baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, the crew goes to tell Belle that Rumple is alive. She's overjoyed, but also kind of taken aback because she watched him die. Hook stays back to protect Belle, and Charming wants Snow to stay back because of the baby. Because
she's almost due. She probably shouldn't be in these stressful situations. I hear that induces labor and stuff, you know, fighting, having flying monkeys chase after you and stuff. Yeah. Next thing you know, she's in the middle of the woods delivering a baby.
I don't think any doctor would recommend
it. I was kind of wondering why she just didn't stay with Belle and Hook. That's true. She kind of needs protection too now.
Well, at this point,
they think Zelina's still good. So if she's with Zelina,
but they should
she
know,
has
even
company.
Zelina didn't, you know.
The only person who knows Zelina at this point is David and Mary Margaret.
They don't know if Zelina can wield a sword, can shoot a gun, can fire an arrow.
Yeah, I'm just like, why is everyone just letting her go be with this person who no one knows? Like, no one remembers her. They're way too trusting with her.
Too trusting.
And that bugs me.
Yeah.
And they've never met her before in all their time in Storybrooke, and it's like, the heck?
Yeah, like, have Zelina come hang out with you at Gold Shops. Mm-hmm. You know?
Call your girlfriend Red Riding Hood and have her come protect you. So, they set off, the crew sets off, they all split up. Let's talk about Regina and Robin first. They go to Zelina's house, although they don't know it's Zelina's.
You like that stuff, huh?
Yeah, that smile.
Oh, my God. Yeah, who doesn't so like, who
I
doesn't like
agree.
Regina and Robin?
Robina. That's the new shipper name.
Regina goes off, and then she finds Robin there. He shoots an arrow at her face, which was cute. And then he's like, I thought you were the Wicked Witch. And she goes, I thought you were a monkey.
It's their meet cute.
Like, yeah,
that's the story you go tell your kids. Except, your dad tried to shoot an arrow at me. He thought I was this other witch. Turns out I'm just an evil witch, not a wicked one.
This is the second time, though, that they have met because they don't remember the last year when they probably fell in love.
I think they did.
I'm sure they did.
They can fall in love all over again. How cute is that?
We'll actually get to see it this time.
And it was instantaneous. It was cute.
I'm sure we'll see both times eventually.
Yeah.
I want Regina to find love other than Henry. I want her to find, like, sexual.
Is she
going to
replace Henry with the new son, though?
No. Ooh. I thought of that, too.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you always think of those
Roland?
Things.
Roland? Mm. Well, I don't want to jump ahead.
Roland was so
cute.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, okay. We'll get there. So, they don't remember meeting last year, but we do start to see some sexual tension between the two. He offers to help Regina. They go inside the house, and they're searching for things. Regina says, a good witch can cover her tracks, a better witch can uncover them. She's standing against the wall with all of Zelina's things, and Robin Hood reaches in, and they're 2 inches from each other's face, and he grabs something, and he goes, what's this? And she goes, can be some liquid courage. That's what I call whiskey. a love potion. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. But it's whiskey. I love that line.
It was awesome. I agree. Yeah. And I think that was just like a nice touch to like the start of the relationship.
I think a lot of relationships start off
with
alcohol.
Whiskey. I mean,
they pour a couple glasses, and then Regina sees his lion tattoo, realizes he is her soulmate. She has these flashbacks, and she runs away.
She got scared. I would get scared too.
I get scared a lot.
I mean, she ran the first time when she hadn't even seen his face. Mm-hmm. So now she's, you know, hanging out with him and kind of maybe thinking, okay, like he's kind of cool. And then sees that that's the guy she was supposed to be with. And that would freak me the freak out.
What? What the what? I would be like, hey, so.
Not to be creepy, but this one time I was staring at you while you were inside a bar and I was outside, and apparently you're supposed to be my true love, And now that we found each other again, let's get married.
I would just be like, so what's your sign? Oh, you're a Leo?
Leo.
Either way, it's creepy. Might send the guy running.
Later on, they finally see each other again, or rather, Regina sees Robin Hood again with his son and the Merry Men, and it's absolutely adorable. And I can only hope to see more of them and their love blossom the rest of the season.
I think they're good together because Regina has been so, like, all these things that have happened in the past 2 years of her life, she is so unhappy, all these unhappy moments, and I just want her to be with someone who could, where she can have happiness.
Do you guys foresee any obstacles in them finding this love?
There has to be,
of course.
Like what? Other than Regina.
Oh, I was going to say Regina. Well,
yeah, Regina herself.
Yeah, I think Regina's going to be her own worst enemy in this thing because... it's scary for her to move on and to actually have someone and not be, you know, fighting it. And I also think that if Zelina were to get her hands on the situation, that she might kind of be a troublemaker in that because, you know, from what we know, Zelina's not happy that Regina apparently got the better life. So what better way to make her, you know, even more angry, find out that Regina actually likes this guy and things are going to go well? I think Zelina's going to come in and try and, like,
she could use Robin Hood as a potential Achilles heel. You know, or, like, or Roland. Steal Roland.
Yeah.
Ooh. I thought it was kind of cute that the way they met in present-day Storybrooke, he wanted to help her, but she wasn't quite sure. And it was kind of reminiscent to a couple episodes back when he followed her and wanted to help her and she wanted to be alone. I thought that was kind of cute. Yeah. Yes. And then Zelina's probably going to get in the way.
Oh, of course. But I think if Regina does kind of accept that Robin might be her new true love and, like, starts to be with him and then try to accept Roland, it might be her latching onto a new family and letting go of Henry. Mm-hmm.
She can't let go of Henry.
Which is, again, of course, that would be hard on anyone because her true love is Henry. Mm-hmm. But letting him go in a way might be hard.
So why is everyone okay with Regina having all these true loves, but Emma apparently
speaking of true loves, let's talk about Neil for a second.
True love.
That makes no sense at all.
Yes, it does.
Perfect segue.
Hey, true love.
So, there is some banging at the back of Gold's shop, and Belle runs back because she thinks that it's...
Nice choice words. Go on.
Banging at the door. Banging at the door. Like someone is knocking at the door. Not at the door.
Okay.
And Belle thinks that it's Rumpel, but it ends up being Neil, which we don't really know what was going on with him the past few episodes. But they bring Neil to the hospital to figure out what was wrong with him and where he was. He says the last thing he remembers is the yellow bug crossing the town line. Doesn't remember anything from the past year. And he's very upset when he talks to Emma about Henry not remembering him. He's like, that's my son. He thinks I'm a bad guy for leaving you at the jail. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know anything about me and he just thinks that I'm this awful person.
The one thing that bugged me about this whole Neil storyline was that they never told us where he was or where he came back from because they said that the last thing he remembers is seeing the yellow bug cross the line. Was that this time that the yellow bug crossed the line? The last time that it crossed the line?
No, I think it was this time.
It was this time. Yeah. Where was he?
I think
did he see that and, like, no one else
honestly did? I feel like we'll see him maybe one or two more times this season and it'll be recaps of all the things in the Enchanted Forest.
It better be, because that's the one thing that's bugging me right now is that, you know, they said, you know, oh, I saw this, but they didn't give us any answers to where he's been.
I'm sure we will get those answers in future episodes.
Yeah, because he lost the 1 year of his memory so long, like, as much as everyone else did.
So, another thing that happens in the hospital is we see Neil's weird triangle scar on his right hand, which now we know what it's from, but Belle goes to research.
I drew a triangle on my left hand. Yeah.
Give you some insight on what it's like to have a triangle.
Yeah. I'm trying to see.
And then Hook goes to visit Neil in the hospital, and Neil says, how does it feel to be a hero now? Going to retrieve Emma and Henry and bringing them back. And Hook retorts with, how does it feel to be a villain now? He says, you must have used some dark magic to get Rumpel back. And then they hug it out. And
it was confusing, yeah, but it was actually really, like, cute after.
Neil said, I'm going to go, you know, find everyone and find my dad. And Neil's like, well, I'm in the way. And then they hug it out. And he's like, I can't forget raising you as a kid, which was so weird.
It was weird, but it was also sweet because, especially now that, I mean, Killian didn't know that Neil was going to die, but it was kind of like the closure with them too.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you can have my true love.
Do you guys remember?
I have my blessing.
Yeah.
Was there a backstory between Hook and Neil where he was raising?
Yeah. See, it was when Neil was Bellfire on the ship. He gets dropped by Peter Pan in the ocean, and then he ends up on the Jolly Roger.
So I had a Zelina. She cursed me,
Killian.
Too.
So. Yeah.
I forgot.
You have so many voices in your head right now.
I have so many voices. I thought it was very good form on Hook's part to kind of just take that minute to be like, hey, I know that, you know, we've been fighting over a girl this whole time, but, you know, I just want to take a minute man to man, you know.
It was cute.
It was really sweet. It was very good form on both of their parts, and... Mm-hmm. I don't know, I kind of felt like throughout the storybook part of this, like, Neil was kind of saying goodbye in a way.
For me,
we should have known.
I think my problem with Hook is that I don't fully trust him yet. I still think there's something that he always...
Self-serving?
Yeah, there's something self-serving. And so when he was hugging him out and said, you have 10 minutes, I was thinking, maybe he wants him to die or get hurt.
He never called Emma to give Emma the heads up. We never saw that phone call happen.
Well, that's why he doesn't want Emma to protect him, you know? Like, I kind of felt like he maybe wanted Bay out of the triangle.
No, never that.
Possible.
I don't know what that was.
No. We'll see.
No.
Hook's got a...
No.
Trust things to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I did have my suspicions, too. I wrote them on YouTube. Last week's thing.
YouTube comment was real good.
Yeah, I mean, it was just based off of a dream kind of thing, premonition that I had. I don't want it to be true about Hook, but you can go on YouTube and read that comment and let me know what you guys think.
Speaking of YouTube, I want to take 30 seconds to just talk about... We love all of the comments that we get on YouTube every single week.
So
your
good.
Predictions are sometimes, they help us. Sometimes they're better than ours. Most of the time they're better than ours. because, you know, this is really the first time we watch the show once and then we come in here and we do these after shows. So we do miss a lot of things. But when we go back, it's really cool to, you know, hear those things that we missed, hear your predictions. And then also, if you aren't watching us on YouTube and you're listening to us on iTunes, please take 30 seconds and just, you know, go rate our show, leave us a comment, tell us how we're doing. We love to hear your feedback. And then if you do have predictions, you can tweet us those as well. So thank you so much for all of the participation. It's overwhelming how awesome it is.
And the tweets too. You guys are tweeting us right now, and it's amazing the predictions that come in and, you know, the facts that you guys help us kind of that we miss out on.
Yeah,
and
that
stuff.
You put
so
together.
Thank you for all that.
I have to give a shout out to at Oncer for Life 29, who sent this really long prediction. She sent me this whole thing about
it's a paragraph.
But it's really good, and it's a theory about Swanfire and everything. And then she also mentioned something I believe you said, not on air, Tiana, about how Graham was supposed to come back this season. Since he doesn't have a heart, he should have been the Tin Man.
The Tin Man, yeah.
Yeah, and because the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz story is a sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. So what did they do instead? I guess we shall find out later.
Someone just tweeted us as well, Mark McDonald. Hashtag Hooker
for Life. Hooker for Life, Mark.
Am I right?
Hooker for Life.
No.
I'm the only one at the table standing strong.
Hooker after Neil's life. How about that?
Perhaps.
No.
But thanks for tweeting us.
Can
we
that be a new hashtag, Hooker after Neil's life?
No. Just Hooker for Life, guys.
Hooker post-mortem.
If there's enough characters, you can make it happen.
So...
Read out of context, that could be really bad.
Oh, yeah. I've actually researched, like...
Post-mortem Hooker. Well, Hooker for Life.
Even just Hooker for Life. If you like search that hashtag, a lot of strange things come up sometimes. Yeah. But no, including you can Tiana. Tell which ones are the onesers. Steven's giving the thumbs up. He knows.
So let's talk about Emma and Charming off, you know, trying to find Rumpel. They find him and he says he can't quiet the voices in his head. And because of that, he can't tell them who the Wicked Witch is. Just then, a flying monkey comes out of nowhere. Charming wields his sword, and Rumpel and Emma run away. Fortunately, Rumpel runs off in a different direction than Emma. Emma then runs into Neil and wants to keep looking for Rumpel. Neil asks Emma about the last year, and she is very forthright, telling him all about the engagement and how it didn't work because it was a flying monkey.
And then they bond and it was cute and sweet, mm-hmm. Swanfire style.
Because they both almost married people who turned out to be working for the bad guy. Mm-hmm. So that was really sweet. And I don't condone gun violence, but I just was concerned because Emma had a gun and Charming had a sword. And there's a flying monkey.
Yeah.
Which one am I going to use in this situation? Probably the gun just to, mm-hmm. you know...
Yeah.
Kill that thing and get it out of our way faster, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they didn't actually fire it, though. Yeah. Because there was a moment where, like, Emma was facing the back of David, and I'm like, don't shoot!
Yeah.
You're gonna hit him.
You're gonna miss.
Yeah.
So, during all of this, then Belle calls and explains the whole one-for-one trade. Take a life, give a life. I didn't really understand this because right when she said that, Neil keels over and he starts hearing Rumpel's voice in his head. And we realize that they're inside each other. So I don't understand why he didn't have that happen before.
I think it was just for us to know what was going on, really. It was like, this is why this is about to happen.
Dark, I guess.
So this is going to happen.
No, it was at the point where Emma was with Rumpel, and then she willed Neil out. And then once they were fully separated, then that started happening.
No, it started. He keeled over before that started happening.
I just honestly think it was just their way of having, like,
the timing had to be perfect. That's when he says, he's like, he keels over and he asks Emma, he's like, you have to use your power on me to separate us.
I think it was just an explanation.
Mm, yeah. So.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to wait to let him be around for a little bit to start saying his goodbyes.
If this has happened for Rumpel for however long, then why wasn't it happening to Neil?
I thought about that a little bit, but I think it's because Neil was the one that released him, and he's the one with more power.
Or maybe, I just realized, maybe it was because Rumpel was by himself for so long, and so he didn't have other voices talking to him.
Mm.
The only time that would have happened is if...
But Neil was kind of alone, right? We don't know where he
came. I think it has to do with wherever Neil came back from. Did he come back in that moment?
There were also times when... sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I was going to say that there were also times when Rumpel was lucid and he didn't have these voices, like when he was talking to Zelina. So maybe that was, you know, Neil was sleeping or something like that. So he never was affected by it because... You know, he just thought it was a dream or something.
Yeah.
I think it might have been like the Harry Potter Voldemort kind of theory. When they're together, they can, when they're close in proximity, then they start really affecting each other and start connecting. And then maybe it was the case with them two tonight when Neil and Rumpel were kind of in the same vicinity. Yeah. Then it started happening.
Yeah.
And I don't think in the Enchanted Forest, after they merged bodies, we never saw Neil separated there, right? I mean, it ended with Rumpel being there. So maybe he, I don't know, maybe only in Storybrooke has he broken apart from the body to make two of them instead. Because in the Enchanted Forest, they're one person. Mm-hmm. And then here, they're two separate people. So maybe that had to do with why it was like a delayed response for him to start.
I hope they shed more light onto exactly how this formed.
What happened?
Yeah.
I was going to say that I wonder, once this curse is broken, if Neil could potentially come back.
I think
if they go back to Storybrooke again. Or go back to the Enchanted Forest again.
Maybe.
I think it's possible.
Anything is possible in Once Upon a Time Land.
If they want to bring someone back, they'll find a way.
Yeah.
I just have to say, guys, I looked up Hooker for Life on Instagram. And you'll be surprised to know that it's mostly Once Upon a Time and Crocheting Tips.
Yes!
With Tiana's face.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. So,
I think that's funny that Steven's like, I need to look at Hookah for Life.
Yeah. I think Steven was hoping for something
else. I was curious, guys. Come on.
It was already one of his most searched hashtags.
I know. Wait a minute.
Under Steve's search. Yeah.
So, Emma separates them. And Neil ends up sacrificing himself. He's dying in Emma's arms. And Rumpel says, it's too late. I was hoping that Emma would kiss him and, like, it would somehow magically resolve this entire situation.
I would have been okay with that.
But she didn't even try. At least try.
Yes,
because she don't love him. If she loved him, she would have kissed him and tried it.
But would you want to, like, kiss your man goodbye?
No, yes. She would have tried it if she wanted him as her man. But she did it, so she did it, and he's dead.
Remember when Neil fell into that, the bean hole? He fell into the bean hole, and they were about to lose him, and he's like, I love you, and she's like, I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, you thought he died then. You thought he died then, so why didn't you say it?
Just kiss him goodbye.
This is the second time he's
dying. I'm not saying that it will sort of make him live. That would be nice.
If she didn't say it, then she didn't feel it.
Yeah.
If she didn't kiss him, that means she wasn't thinking, oh, true love's kiss might cure this. She knew in her heart that she's not truly in love with him, so it wasn't even worth trying because she didn't love him.
I have a question for you guys. And you viewers out there, if my memory is bad, sorry, but... what is Emma's power?
It's a lot of things.
Yeah. She mostly is like the power over will.
Okay.
She can will things to happen.
I felt like she had the power of love and the power of detecting lies, but
yeah. That's her human power. But her.
She also had the power to deflect Regina's magic a while back.
I mean, she's a savior, but she had the power to. She has, like, strong powers, like Regina, almost. The power to separate them.
I don't think we've even fully seen
if she wills to deflect, she could do it.
Complete potential for her powers.
She needs to be trained.
She just doesn't know.
Well,
she hasn't been trained.
What if Rumpel trains her?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, Regina started, but then, you know, they stopped because then she went and lost her memories and moved to New York. So, I mean, she's also
but if you think about it, like, Cora, Regina, Zelina, they've all had the time to train and really utilize their power and harness it and use it. But Emma hasn't. She just uses it when necessary.
Yeah. That's why it's confusing.
If she actually had the time to, you know, build her power, then she could be deadly and like no other.
But if she learned powers from Rumpel, wouldn't she be learning from the Dark One? So wouldn't her magic be dark?
Well, no. Rumpel would teach dark ways.
It's how you choose.
It's how she does it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think he also knows the right way.
Yeah, it's the means in which you use your power.
Yeah. The reason behind it.
Yes.
So, Neil dies in Emma's arms. Right before he does, he gives the necklace back to Emma. And then Rumpel remembers, since they're separated, that Zelina is the witch. He tells Emma that. So, Charming and Emma go... to Snow, or their apartment, and break in to try to find Zelina. Says Zelina is in the bathroom, but when Charming and Emma break in, she's already left. She's escaped through the window.
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. How did she know they were on their way?
Yeah.
Did her monkey tip her off?
Maybe. I assumed her monkey came. I told her.
Maybe he has, like, a high-pitched squeal that only she can hear.
Because his wing is definitely shattered from the sword wielding that Charming did. So, I don't know.
It was weird because she also sounded surprised when Rumpel was like, yeah, everyone knows now. And she was like, what? So, I don't know what she knew.
Maybe she just heard banging at the door. And so, she escaped when that happened.
Yeah. Can't see.
That was probably it.
Yeah.
So, Zelina shows up where Rumpel is with dead Neil, and sorry, that's really not That's how I wrote it when we were writing really fast, and there was so much going on. I'm really sorry. I love him so much. He's not my true love because he's Emma's.
But you're his character.
So it's only Rumpel ends up telling her it's only a matter of time before they find you and kill you. you can't get close to any of them, and you cannot get close to the baby.
Why didn't they? Well, I get that Rumple's son just died and he's there, but you just found the Dark One after, you know, you knew that the Wicked Witch had him locked up. Did they ask any follow-up questions like, does she have your dagger? Do you have to do her evil bidding so that they know next time they see him around that maybe...
What is she
after? I think that might have happened.
It would make sense, but they were probably overwhelmed with the death of Neil. I mean, that's a huge thing.
I mean, because they just left both of them there, I thought that was weird to kind of leave them there.
I don't really understand why... Yeah, why Rumple didn't go with Emma, but maybe she just knew because of that you know, they had the dagger. Or that Zelina had the dagger.
I mean, maybe he knows he's just confined to her.
Yeah, I'm just concerned because Zelina can tell him to do anything and he has to do it because she controls him. So if they're walking and they think that they have regular old Rumple, Mr. Gold back, and then all of a sudden she's like, actually kill Snow White, and then he just turns on her like no one's going to be ready for that.
We never saw Snow leave, or we never saw Emma leave that area with Rumple and Neil. So there could have been other things that happened that we just didn't see where they had a conversation where it was like, okay, well, how do we get back to... everything now that we know it's Zelina, how do we get Neil's body back? How do we, you know, we should all go together, whatever it is, or I'll go ahead and you come later. But like we didn't see that whole talk happen. So there could have been another line if he just said, I can't go with you because I'm being controlled by Zelina, so I don't want to go there and then put you guys in harm's way.
Okay.
It's true. We'll see.
I just hope that they did.
Yeah.
Me too.
I get concerned about them, you know.
Yeah.
They're too trusting sometimes. Mm-hmm.
So Zelina's there with Rumple, and she still has the dagger, so she tells him to go to his cage. And he goes to
That's like a master over his animal, or like their pet.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
Yeah.
Except sometimes pets are defiant, and Rumple cannot be.
But that just goes to show Zelina has the upper hand right now.
But there's got to be a way to get that dagger away from her. So.
Is there like a dagger for boyfriends? Like, no.
Maybe.
Control them.
Oh, if that was that easy.
Okay, my question is, we saw mostly in the beginning of the episode, Snow White's concerned about her baby not kicking, and then Zelina came and gave her that Andara... orange juice?
I thought simply orange until.
Yeah. Orange juice? Yeah, it was a simply orange container. Yeah. But what do you think Zelina gave her? Because she was egging her on, like, drink it up. You know? And because last episode we saw Zelina gave David the night root.
Just
tonight she was getting Snow to drink.
I think it was
something
to speed up her labor process.
I think Zelina has done a lot of things to gain Snow's trust. She hasn't yet done anything harmful to Snow, I think, because since the baby is inside her, I don't think she wants to do anything harmful until the baby is out. So up until that point, it's just gaining her trust more so. And Zelina does know a lot of stuff about babies. I don't know how she knows all that stuff. She said oh, well, it's natural to not feel the baby kick right before you go into labor, so what you have to do is drink this orange juice and then you'll feel it again, and that's exactly what happened.
She was like just smirking, like, drink it. Mm-hmm. Just, there's something in it.
I think they wanted us to think something else. I looked it up because I was like, are you supposed to drink orange juice when you're pregnant? And they do say it's a good source of potassium, and it's been shown to lower high blood pressure, especially when you're pregnant. And I think that in their talk, it sounds like Snow is really, you know, concerned and
stressed
out about everything with the Wicked Witch. So that would have her heart rate or her blood pressure higher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe they wanted us to think more into it. And I don't think she really did anything.
Yeah, I just saw from last episode with David, now this episode.
I think it'd be too repetitive for them to do like she put something in their drink like 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So I think they just wanted us to think one thing, and then really she did something else. Yeah.
So final thoughts on this episode before we get into news and gossip.
Henry?
Oh, yeah. I was given the wrap-up sign, so I was like, okay. So very quickly, Henry, he clearly knows what's going on. He says he confronts Emma while they're in the park, and he says, I know something's up, you have all these old friends that I've never heard of. Emma then asks Henry to trust her, and that's when she leaves. Later on, Emma tells Henry the person who needed her help was her dad, unfortunately, or his dad. Unfortunately, it's too late, and she explains to Henry, you need to know that he was a hero, your father, and what happened to, or then Henry asks what happened to the person who did it, and Emma says, they got away, but I'll find them.
I think that Henry is really onto something. I don't know what they're doing right now, but I kind of miss Henry being involved more in stuff. It's been a lot of the adults, and I know that it feels like they've been putting Henry away because
he's on
even
the back burner right now.
Yeah, even when they were in Neverland in the first half of the season, Henry wasn't really there because he was off with the Lost Boys. Yeah. So it's been a lot of the adults, and I kind of want Henry back.
When he was finally questioning Emma in this episode, I was like, yes, finally. Because for a while, it just felt they were kind of dumbing him down in this.
Because he's out of the loop, and he just feels more like aloof and like he doesn't get things. But he's still the smart kid because we see in this episode that he's questioning his mom. I mean, like,
he's definitely going to ask a lot more questions after that.
He's the one that found the savior. I think he needs more.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, now that we've talked about Henry, what is going on in news and gossip, Tiana?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Well, first of all, are we going to start with the picture, Steven?
Yeah, I'm setting it up.
Okay, well, in the meantime, I'll talk about something else. There's this BuzzFeed article called 63 Magical Disney Movie Facts You Should Know. You should definitely all go check them out because I read all 63 and they're really fun. Two that really stood out for me were Sleeping Beauty's Prince Philip was named after Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. I think I said that right. Who's Queen Elizabeth's husband. He only had 18 whole lines. And Princess Aurora is the Disney princess with the least amount of dialogue.
Yeah, because she sleeps.
Yeah, sorry.
The whole
Princess Aurora has 18 lines, and so she's the one with the least amount of dialogue. And then another fun fact was some of the dwarf names that did not make it into Snow White were Jumpy, Deffy, Dizzy, Wheezy, Hickey, Baldy, Gabby, Nifty, Sniffy, Swift, Lazy, Puffy, Stuffy, Tubby, Shorty, and Burpy.
Some of those, like Burpy. Why was Burpy not one of
them?
Some
of those are a little offensive.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, this was like in, what, 1930 something or whatever, so. I mean, Disney wasn't always known to be, you know, exactly
non-racist. What if there were,
non-racist.
Like, 20 dwarves instead of just 7?
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
and when you try to name all of them, it's like, yeah, that is a difficult
It's like naming the Santa's reindeers. You try to remember them all.
Yeah, I always get them wrong. And then I have some more fan interaction pictures that came in. This one's for the Outlaw Queen. It's Keep Calm and Ship Outlaw Queen, and I love that they included Nolan in this.
Roland.
Did I say Nolan?
Yeah. You said Nolan.
I heard myself say that.
I like Robina better than Outlaw Queen.
I like this one.
Yeah, and then because I got so much flack from this table last week, I decided to add the ship Swanfire. This was before I watched tonight's episode, though, so I did not know that Neil was going to die before I had this ready for news and gossip. But, so those were both from at Emily Dia on Twitter. So thank you for sending them. And remember to send me more, and I'll keep showing them.
Cool.
Predictions?
Yes. Let's move on to predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Is that a new one?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. That's actually an old one.
So, let's talk about what do you guys think is going to happen in the next episode?
In the next episode, I don't know, but I think that that necklace that Neil gave back to Emma, he held on to it, obviously, for a reason. So, I think that will come back into play at some point, and it might have something to do with maybe a way to bring him back or something. There's something special about that necklace because I don't think they really would have showcased it if it didn't really mean anything.
I predict someone else is going to die.
Ooh. Don't look at me when you say it.
Hopefully Zelina.
Yeah.
Hopefully Zelina.
I think Zelina will stay till the end. But maybe that locket or that necklace is more of a talisman kind of thing. And it wields power in some fashion.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that Hook is going to be Emma's shoulder to cry on.
Oh, I think Swampfire will find Tallahassee. sometime.
I love that someday. Line.
I think she's yeah. going to find her Tallahassee with Hook.
That ain't Tallahassee. That's a ship right there.
Hey.
But we've seen the previews. There's going to be a major showdown between Zelina and Regina. That looks
the good. Wild Wild
That's
West.
That's going to be awesome.
That looks great.
A little awesome. Witch off. I love it.
Witch off.
So until next week, send us your predictions on YouTube, on iTunes, and then you can tweet us. Where can they find you guys?
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, KaoriouS, Kaorius.
Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
You can find me on Twitter at Catherine Kelly. You can find all of us here on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. So until next week, keep your predictions coming, and we will see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.